This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Abercrombie's shorts and swim sale is live, and they're giving Spotify listeners an extra 15% off with code SWIMAF. Abercrombie's shorts and swim trunks come in so many fits and fabrics, it's easy to find your go-to pair. Prep for summer during Abercrombie's shorts and swim sale. Excludes clearance, online price reflects discount. Use code SWIMAF to get an additional 15% off almost everything at checkout from May 8th, 2025 through May 12th, 2025. Offer valid in US and Canada. Exclusions apply. See details online.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Say my name.
Rich Eisen.
You're damn right.
Tatum catches, left side three. Got it. He does have five threes. Fouls on Draymond. He's been fouled out of the game.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ella Burton for three.
Burnside gathers and thunders down a big two-hand rim rocker.
Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, actor Ryan Phillippe, plus latest news, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, everybody. Hey, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live here in El Segundo, California, here on this very busy Monday on the Roku Sports Channel. We say hello to everybody who's streaming us there. We say hello to everybody who's listening on the Infinity Broadcast Network, coast to coast. Thrilled to have you listening terrestrially, or if you're listening Sirius XM channel 375, the Odyssey app. Hello. We've got two guests. Jay Billis is going to join us.
Nice.
Jay is in transit right now. Top of hour two, he's going to join us. And talk some NBA playoffs, talk about the draft lottery tonight. We're going to find out who's getting Cooper Flagg tonight.
Who?
So that's happening. He's also calling in advance of the American Century Championship Tournament in Tahoe in the middle of the summer. Talk a little golf with Jay, which is a rarity. You don't usually talk much golf with
PGA Championship this week.
That's right. So there's that. Also, in hour number three, Ryan Phillippe will join us. And our first item up for biz to discuss today is something that Ryan will be quite interested in. And we'll talk about that in a second. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How
Rich,
are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Morning, Rich.
Good to see you back. TJ Jefferson, good to see you. Is the candle lit?
Candle's lit. Soto's on fire. Always right.
Oh, really Soto's good. On okay. fire.
You guys are ridiculous,
that
man.
Soto's on fire, man.
Let me tell you, man.
Soto's on fire. And just be thankful I don't text you every time Aaron Judge homers like you text the group every time Juan Soto homers.
We never had any questions.
You wouldn't be able to.
We never had any Aaron Judge. You were questioning Soto. I'm just letting you know that he's catching on fire. That's all I'm doing because you were so concerned, obviously, about it. So.
That's true.
I am concerned about it.
That's true. You were concerned.
I am.
Chris, we weren't worried about this.
We're going to talk baseball later on in this hour. Let's just put a pin in it. Let's put a pin in it because you know when we talk baseball, it means you, TJ, and you, Chris,
it's
and
I. Contentious.
Yeah, we start bickering.
I think that's what we've needed, though.
We start bickering. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. So, we're leading off this week. We'll end with us battling it out in Celebrity Family Feud in Atlanta if we can fly there on time.
We're not going through Newark.
We hope to just read about Atlanta's airport now.
Oh, wow.
Hey. So that's the way the week ends. The week begins with something we're going to be talking about in the middle of the week, which is the NFL schedule being released. And the way the NFL schedule releases its not to, you know, 100% take credit for it along with the rest of NFL Network. And it's changed. It has changed. DJ Mikey D, who goes way back in the day with us for the NFL Network.
Yes.
That was the Royal I was referring to with us. that you remember when we first came up with the programming for the schedule release.
People were like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? And it's content. Yeah. Everything's content these days. To the point where now there is a schedule release, I guess its own schedule on the schedule release is a schedule of leaks. There's a schedule leaks release and then a schedule release where each partner of the National Football League gets their opportunity on their morning shows or other shows of their choices to announce a key portion of the schedule. And today, NBC, in also announcing Michael Jordan being part of the NBA on NBC schedule, as the NBA is going back to NBC. Jordan is part of the broadcast, apparently, in a special correspondent role or whatever the hell they're calling it.
A special contributor.
Ah, special contributor. Yeah. You know, he was a very special contributor to the Chicago sports scene once
upon. I've heard that.
And pretty much every single one of his big games was on NBC. But anyway, in this particular situation,
contributing to me and Brockman having less money in our bank accounts.
Maybe so.
We've been contributing to him.
He was a special contributor to my malaise watching Knicks games for a very long time. Similar to Saturday. At any rate, the folks on NBC announced the kickoff. Now, we were saying who should be in Philadelphia for the kickoff for the last few weeks. And could it be Los Angeles? Could it be the Rams to repeat the divisional playoff game in the snow? The 100% closest battle Philadelphia endeavored or had to deal with on their road to destroying, dismantling everybody else. The Commanders in the NFC Championship game. The Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Maybe we run it back with the Los Angeles Rams. Could it be the Commanders, a repeat of the NFC Championship game? Could it be the Lions? As you know, the Lions have a history of winning games on the road to kick off a season. 2 years ago, they were anointed as such. One of those teams by the NFL to watch for with an assignment in Kansas City. A lot of people thought they did not deserve. And you could think maybe the Bears could be that role. Or could they be anointed Bears at Philadelphia? Because they're certainly not going to have a divisional playoff rematch or a divisional rematch of any sort, right? Unless they want to put the Commanders there. And then they decided to hold the beer of everything by putting the largest piece of filet mignon on the plate they possibly could.
Wow. This takes a nice chunk out of the pie.
Let's go. They are putting the Dallas Cowboys in Philadelphia to start the season September 4th on NBC. And first of all, I'll just say these things. Not that people really care about it.
Well, they do.
Somebody from the National Football League had to make a call to somebody in your place of business on Pico Boulevard here in Los Angeles to say, hey, Dallas and Philadelphia will not be on Fox.
Exactly. That's the
that's what we see in the business, a very sensitive phone call.
Yeah.
And when the schedule comes out on Wednesday, look for some nice Easter eggs, I imagine, on the Fox schedule or another present underneath the tree.
Yeah. That was definitely a game of the week.
Any other game that you think that might be on another network might wind up on Fox in a special way. I don't know. I'm not saying I know these things. I'm just sensing these things. But at any rate, long story short, oh my God.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles will raise a banner.
Oh.
And I imagine we'll see Sly Stallone. We'll see the whole thing. We'll see the whole Philadelphia Philly Palooza. We'll see it all.
Everybody.
With the Dallas Cowboys Kevin in Hart. The house, coming back from an absolute disaster of an all-in season with a new head coach, Brian Schottenheimer's first shot as HC of the Dallas Cowboys in the National Football League as an HC will come in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Dallas Cowboys will have an opportunity to show everybody on planet Earth, show everybody in the National Football League, show everybody in the NFC East that they are back and they can wreck the Philadelphia banner-raising buffet on that Thursday night with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and Javonte Williams and the rest of that, and Jordan Blue, who they just drafted, right?
Third round, I think.
Okay. Here we go. Or the Philadelphia Eagles will just spank them, and we will have a festival on the Rich Eisen Show Friday, September 5th.
I think either way, we're winners, despite the outcome. I'm just ruminating some overreactions just in my head, just thinking about it. Cowboys are back. Favorites in the NFC.
It will be before next NBA season. So the man who once upon a time sent balloons and flowers and a mariachi band famously here
to
troll on TJ Jefferson.
Yeah, that bigger thing.
Not once, but twice. Three times, actually. He chimed in on the way the Lions spanked the Cowboys.
Sure did.
And every single time the Eagles took care of business against the Dallas Cowboys, we heard from our friend Carl Anthony Towns. And the next Eagles-Cowboys game will be the first one out of the gate. Ooh. Saquon paid Pizzade. How will that look? Cannot wait. Cannot wait. What are the odds, sir?
That was going to happen? I'd say great.
No, really? I didn't think they would put the Cowboys in Philadelphia to start the season.
Why not? It's the prime time matchup that's there. Whether you,
Rich, you ask, what are the odds?
Okay.
That's why
I have odds for you if you're interested.
Not on the odds of how it wound up on the schedule.
No. The odds for the game,
winds
actually.
Up, whether somebody, for the game.
You can already bet on week one.
Who cares? The team's
opening night, Cowboys, Eagles. Eagles, -6.5.
That's so stupid.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We don't even know who's on the 53 man yet.
I mean, we know who the 22 best are.
The only thing dumber I've heard of in the last 48 to 72 hours is the fact that there's now a line on the Cowboys and the Eagles the Monday after Mother's Day for a game that is the Thursday after Labor Day. The only thing dumber
4 or 5 months away
that I've heard than that is seeing a Knick fan waving a broom in the face of a Celtic fan out in front of Madison Square Garden before game 3 this weekend.
That was
the dumbest thing I've ever seen this weekend until that very moment. I thought Knicks fans in front of Madison Square Garden with brooms.
I mean, what are we doing?
A little much.
Speaking of Carl Anthony Towns, before game 3.
Were they going to shoot 25% again?
Saying that they were going to sweep the Boston Celtics, the defending champion Boston Celtics, was the dumbest thing I've seen all weekend. And thought, maybe for some time, but that clubhouse is now no longer led. It's now being led by the fact that there's a 6.5-point line in favor of the defending Super Bowl champions for a game the Thursday after Labor Day, as set in Las Vegas, the Monday after Mother's Day. Dumbest thing I've heard all week.
Total's at 46.5 if you're interested.
Oh, my God.
If you're interested in that.
Don't care. That's a good one. Yeah. Truly don't care.
No. 46.5 on the total.
That's a good one.
Before we do move on to the association in a second.
Like, yeah.
What's the – just again, because as you know, I'm an NFL – employee, and these things confuse me,
of course.
Yeah. Or they're supposed to confuse me,
and we would never ask your opinion on this.
I would never ask your opinion. Yeah,
until
exactly.
some people say, just put it on the bottom line of NFL Network anyway. But listen,
that's true,
Chris.
Yes, Rich.
I'm asking you, what's the point of this? Because you figure the odds will, like, getting on it now.
Yeah, you get it.
Because you feel like it's going to be worse for you,
right?
The week, like, actually having far more pertinent information to be smart on a wager.
Here's the deal: you get a number now. Heaven forbid there's a off-season, preseason injury, or there's a holdout situation, or any number of things could happen. There's a deluge rainstorm opening week. And so now you got the total under 46.5. And you're like, hey, there's some weather situation. This is going to be a 17-14 game.
Yes.
And you feel good about the side that you take. It's just for early action.
What if the Dallas Cowboys, let's just say you take 46, right?
Sure.
What if the Dallas Cowboys, between now and then, go ahead and say, you know what? We're not done being splashy. We're going to go ahead and trade for Brandon Ayuk.
Then you'd feel good about Dallas plus 6.5.
Right?
I don't know.
Not that Ayuk's available. I'm just going to keep on naming names.
A better
names
thing would be like Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
Bringing Nick Chubb.
Yeah, there you go. They bring in Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stupid.
Love all Brock.
Well, I'm excited. That was a pleasant surprise. It did surprise me because TJ, that's a game you normally reserve for your November, December pleasure. And I'm sure whatever game between the Eagles and the Cowboys that in Dallas, that one will be slated for November or December. That one was a surprise and a pleasant one. As for the New York Knickerbockers against the Boston Celtics, seeing over the weekend, New York Knicks fans with brooms in their hands taunting Celtics fans outside of Madison Square Garden.
What are they doing?
It's truly one of the dumbest things I've seen in quite some time. I don't usually throw those words around, stupid, dumb, moronic.
True that.
Certainly when I'm talking about my people, native New Yorkers. You know? Just seeing these folks out there acting like they're, you know, they're raising a banner, being up 2-0. Oh, we're going to sweep you guys. I understand fandom. I also don't understand stupidity. That's a dumb fandom. Because guess what the Celtics did? They made 23-pointers. And that's to your point, Chris. Keep shooting the threes. They start dropping. Yeah. And the Knicks will drop like flies. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. Yeah. That's exactly what happened on Saturday. That thing was over before it began. They blitzed them to start and then decided they went up by 20. And I'm sure some of the Knicks fans who brought brooms to the game were thinking, ah, now we got them right
where we want them.
It's going to happen a third time.
Right.
Until the floor that they thought was 20, that floor kept falling and dropping. And then when the Knicks saw themselves down 30, that's a wrap. Over. And so now the Celtics and the Knicks tonight will have a must-win for the Knicks. It is must-win. Game 4. Must-win. You've got to go up 3-1 on the defending NBA champs and put the pressure squarely on them going back to their parquet floor and their threes and their awful, awful public address announcer.
Oh, so harsh.
They have to beat the Celtics tonight. A team that missed 45 threes in one game and then missed another 30 threes in another game, shot 50% from three in game 3. 20 for 40. Okay, so the difference between 10 for 40, like game 2, and 20 for 40 in game 3. I will help you, okay, because we do the math for you here.
Of course.
That's a 30-point difference.
30-point difference, yeah.
And that's how you win games like the Celtics did. Now, that's just the way of the sport.
Yeah, and the Knicks were only 5 for 25. So that's, they outscored them by 45 from 3.
Blitz from 3, win a game, win a championship. Play a modicum of defense, blitz from 3. That's just the way it is these days. Yep. And all the folks who are like, oh, I miss pivot men. Oh, I miss just, you know, fast break basketball. Oh, I miss, you know, the mid-range jumper. Guess what? Don't watch the Celtics. Don't watch, you know, and we'll see some of the bad blood spilling out between Al Horford and Jalen Brunson. Did find that just, if I may, found that interesting exchange. Did you see that exchange?
Well, Brunson complaining about anyone flopping is like, come on, bro, read the room.
Well, Al Horford, if you read his lips, he said that was a flop, but he can't push me. You could read his lips. He admitted to the refs, I just flopped. But he still can't push me like that.
Both can be true.
Correct. But there is some there. The Knicks cannot fold like that in Madison Square Garden after coming back from a 2-0 road trip in Boston in the manner in which they did. And I know I said they cannot do it. They just did it.
They shot horribly, 40% from the field, 20% from three. Obviously, that's
positively
not a
great, awful.
You know, not a recipe for victory. So I expect a kind of a tighter, more competitive game tonight.
And we'll see that. And there's also a draft lottery before it. So what we're doing here on the Rich Eisen Show later on in hour number three is now a second year in a row in which we're doing this, which means it's now officially a tradition.
like
1 year is just a one-off. 2 years makes it a tradition, at least around here. We are going to operate our own draft lottery and predict to you who is going to win tonight's Cooper Flagg draft lottery, with the Jazz, Wizards, and Hornets having the best opportunity. The Pelicans and Sixers after that. Oh, and it Sixers better be the Sixers, because if it ain't the Sixers, then a team that just beat the Nuggets to make their series even at two games apiece in the 68-win Thunder would get the Sixers draft choice. So there's that. Later on, we'll have fun with that. Jay Billis is going to join us at the top of the second hour. We'll ask him about Giannis, who, according to Shams, is open to finding out what pastures could be greener than the ones in Milwaukee.
My prediction, he don't leave.
So fear that deer, everybody. We'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, we had a quarterback competition already in full bloom in Cleveland. Shador has spoken. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference, because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community. And this May is no different. It's not just a credit union. It's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge of your seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. Hey, everybody. What's going on?
Woo!
Back here on the program.
Not a whole lot, man. Everything good with you?
Yes. Later on,
O'Shea Jackson Jr., is he going to join us to do the feud? Is that a yes or a no? Have you spoken to Shea? Have you heard from him?
I text him. I haven't heard back from him. So
I got to tell you.
Like I said, the best way to get a hold of him is on Twitter.
Well, funny thing is, you said that.
Yeah.
So that day I did tweet him about, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then when he came in later, he was like, yo, why didn't you guys just call me?
Should we just call him?
Like, bro, because you don't answer.
He doesn't answer.
Is he not a, I've
texted him twice since 8, and he hasn't hit me back yet. So,
and you're doing a pod with him later.
Supposedly.
Let me see if he's active on Twitter.
Who's on the pod? Do we have a guest?
O'Shea and I.
Okay. Very good.
Who laughed at that?
Is that RJ?
So, listen.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich. You're looking at me.
We did the feud without you.
Mike, dude.
Let's say, by the way, I will not read YouTube comments ever again.
You shouldn't.
I get TJ's. I get your, I feel for you.
Especially not
but in this. Saying that, there's three things that are wrong right off the bat.
Uh-oh.
When you're playing the real feud, you see the answers that people, I'm listening in my ear, and even Philly, who is in the house.
Get past the fact that
I'm not doing that when we go and do it on Friday.
I understand that.
You watch. That's all I'm going to talk. Step your game up, Mike.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying, Mike,
things went a little smoothly.
Yeah, because he had a chance to see what I had to deal with the day before, because he was sitting here. Exactly. You see, I get it.
Today, we're gonna play it again.
Easy. Tone down, Mike.
We're going to play it again.
We're teammates.
We're going to play it again.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are like
Felly's
against
here because we're going to. No, we're not against you. We're feuding.
We're teammates.
Together.
We're teammates.
Against Dan Patrick's show.
Do we have to take that picture?
We have one common enemy.
Oh, I do.
His name's Dan Patrick. For just one game show. And then we hung it out.
Back to being friends. Yeah,
of course. Thank you. Appreciate it. So, NFL news over the weekend. There was quite a bit of that. Derek Carr retires from the National Football League.
Whoa.
He made, I have it here, a gajillion dollars in his tenure.
Yeah, north of $200 million.
And he made one playoff game.
Good work if
appearance,
you can get
it. And he did not win it. Although that was the year Joe Burrow and the Bengals made the Super Bowl, and their first game was against the Raiders in Cincinnati. That was when Rich Bisaccia was their interim head coach, and they made the playoffs and gave the Bengals a scare. Carr had an opportunity towards the end of the game in the red zone through an interception to end the game. And that was the end of it for his Raiders tenure, essentially. McDaniels comes in, and yada, yada, yada. Carr was sent home right after, in time for Christmas after losing a Christmas Eve game that I was calling for NFL Network. In Pittsburgh, and then he winds up in New Orleans, and that just wound up disappointing, where the Saints didn't get his services almost half the time, it felt like, and he decides, as we know, that we found out over the weekend, he's going to retire, and that was basically a $10 million move by him. He was owed 40. The Saints essentially, from what I'm understanding, told him, you get to keep 10 of your bonus, and the $30 million that we owe you otherwise, we get to keep. And if you have a problem with that, we come after the 10. And I guess he decided, you know what? End of the day, I'll take the 10. And retirement, and goes home to his family, and I'm assuming that will be it. Although he let him, I don't know. You never know in these days anymore. I know there's a $10 million bag that he's going to put in his account that the Saints will basically, like a chess move, keep their finger on that piece. And then when he doesn't play anymore, they'll take their finger off it. But crazier things have happened in the NFL. I have no idea if he's going to sit out a year and then come back, because somebody's going to give him a call when they're going to get desperate. And that team will always get desperate.
Yep.
Always. And there's always negotiating. Yeah, well, we'll pay the Saints off and then you'll make less money for us, but we'll pay the Saints off. I mean, these things happen. Or you pay the Saints off if you want to keep playing. I don't know. But 1 year, if you recall, he did lead the Raiders to a playoff season for Jack Del Rio's Raiders in Oakland and wound up getting hurt, breaking his leg. and not being able to make the playoff start. So he really had two playoff seasons, but only one playoff start in his entire career. And he is now retiring and gets a $10 million Florida Lee gold watch to head off into retirement. And I guess we look forward to future cars making the NFL.
Who's next?
I don't know. I guess look at his family chart.
Only 34 years old. I think I'd be shocked if he's played his last game, but stranger things have happened.
Now that leaves the Saints with three quarterbacks there. Okay, Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler and the guy they just drafted, Tyler Shuck. And that's the quarterback competition. And they one would think they're going to have to sign a veteran quarterback there in New Orleans. I mean, if they don't do that, that's a quarterback room that is going to be young, green, and potentially unwinning. See, I went better than just saying losing. Because you never know. Tyler Shuck came on this program, said, I'm ready. I'm the most pro-ready.
Right.
I'm 25 years old. I'm paraphrasing. I'm 25 years old. I have been to many schools. I have been shown the door in these schools. I have been hurt at some of these schools. I have gone through many different coordinators and offenses. And that does sound like an NFL quarterback to me. Don't forget, Jalen Hurts is going to be on his third straight different offensive coordinator. Or I guess fourth now, right? The current coach of the Colts to whatever the hell they had the year before. Last year is Kellen Moore, and now this year. Yep. That's four different. So I just get this sense that Shuck is going to be your week one starter, and there's two ways this can go. Completely south or completely north. I don't know if there's going to be any gray area here. That Shuck is going to struggle, just like every rookie quarterback, or Bo Nix it and start figuring out how many car dealerships he can represent in New Orleans.
I'm kind of with you there. Also, it helps that they're in the weakest, but they're in a division that's not blowing anybody's socks off.
Everybody says that, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers make the second round of the playoffs more often than not.
Right, but they don't get a second team in the playoffs, I guess is what I'm saying.
I see.
They're just kind of one team, and then all the rest of them. So you're in a division where, yeah, you make some noise. All of a sudden, it's week eight, and you're 6-2, and you're like, oh, look at the Saints.
One last thing on this. If you are the New Orleans Saints, do you call a particular Malibu resident and say, how about us?
I think you have to.
And I'm not referring to Rob Lowe or
no,
McEnroe.
Or McKinley.
Although I think Rob lives a little north. Former Malibu resident.
Johnny C.
McKinley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think you have to. I think you're not doing your job as a GM or front office.
If you don't call Aaron Rodgers
and say, hey, Aaron, you know what I mean? You haven't made a choice yet. So, look, here's what we can offer.
We're indoors. We play indoors.
Look at this division.
Here, coach.
I love those words.
Do the Saints play Green Bay or the Jets this year? Let's see.
He's not the perfect setup.
I don't think so. I don't think that really matters to Aaron Rodgers. I think it's a Jerry on top.
They do play the Jets.
Okay. That's definitely not.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's not making his last football decision based on, can I stick it to the Jets?
No, I get it, but, you know.
I'm just wondering if you're New Orleans, do you lob in a call here and put off figuring out if Shuck's the guy right now? And give Rodgers that 1 year of bridging in New Orleans.
Want some BDAs?
Or do you just go for it? See if Shuck's the guy. And if it doesn't work out this year because it's so poor, you wind up in the running for
Archibald J.
Another Arch Manning.
Oh, that's happening.
Or any of the other good quarterbacks who would be coming out.
I'm just throwing everything out there that I was thinking about when I read Derek Carr is absolutely not coming back. He is actually retiring. He is not going to come back to the Saints for sure. And he's not coming back this year, even if his shoulder is well enough and somebody's calling him up, because that's a $10 million bag. No matter how much money he's made, that would be at risk if he decides to just say, hey, you know what, New Orleans, this whole thing that I decided to retire and you said you're not coming after my 10, you get to keep the 30. I'm willing to fight it. That's what I was thinking about when I heard about Derek Carr retiring. Tyler Shuck going to get the start unless Spencer Rattler beats him out or Haener beats him out. Outside of that, do they call a veteran? You look at the veteran market right now, there's one guy sitting at home that the Steelers think is coming to them. And if that guy at home wants to play any sort of leverage play for money with the Steelers, if that's something he would even consider or think about, that's now out there for his option if he cares to do such a thing. On top of that, the only other veteran quarterback that would be out there that can actually win you games right now is sitting on the depth chart of the team that hates the Saints the most. And Kirk Cousins, you want to talk about what Adam Peters tell Howie Roseman, GM in Philadelphia? Did he tell him that there was a division surcharge or tariff for a trade, you know, during the draft? There's going to be extra draft choice or a higher draft choice that's necessary to make a trade here because of a division tariff. What do you think that tariff would be if the Saints get desperate and call up the Falcons?
Oh.
For Kirk Cousins.
Very steep.
I mean, they would basically say, there's sand, go pound it. I'd imagine. Long story short, this is what I was thinking about with Derek Carr. Now, Tyler Shuck gets drafted, as we all know, by the Saints while Shedeur Sanders was still on the board. And then Jalen Milroe went. And then Dylan Gabriel to Cleveland. And then Shedeur Sanders waits till Saturday. You know, 3 days for this kid. He gets punked in the meantime, too, on the phone. Wildest draft sequence. And then he gets drafted by a team that passed on him 6 times. They traded up to use their last draft choice to get to the spot to draft him anyway in the Cleveland Browns. So he and Dylan Gabriel now on the same depth chart, same quarterback room with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett, as we know. Well, this weekend was the first opportunity to see everybody spinning, you know, in Cleveland. We got ourselves a little camp going on in Ohio. And so it's the first time we get to see everybody throwing. First time we get to see some phone videos, somebody shot of one great moment.
A lot of Siciliano vertical phone videos over the weekend.
Look at Siciliano working it. And we get to see Shedeur Sanders in a Cleveland Browns uniform, number 12. And there was one beautiful dot fly pattern, looked like throw.
Yeah, down the right sideline. It was nice.
He made some nice throws, man.
I saw that one because Dion retweeted it.
Coop told me, my son's like, Sanders just threw a touchdown, Dad. Shedeur threw a touchdown. And Dylan Gabriel threw an interception as Schlesinger, the second round draft choice. The first guy on night two that the Browns took.
I love it.
To give us an indication that they weren't taking Shedeur Sanders. Because if you were taking Shedeur and you got two of the first 4 picks of a second round, you're certainly not going to pass up on him on the first shot when nobody can stop you, and take him on the second shot when a bunch of teams can trade in front of you and prevent it. So that's the first order of business. And then Shedeur met with the media. So keep in mind, this is supposed to be a kid that doesn't care about this sort of stuff. Because he's better than you. He's better than the media. Let's remember everybody. That's supposed mantra here. Unless you think he's just turning it on, because that is important to him. His branding and things like that.
Legendary.
Or you just listen to him talk. Let's do that. First order of business, he was asked how he was handling the drop in the draft and how his spirits were being kept up.
I mean, you just got to step back and look at life. Like, you're in a great situation overall that you're able to be healthy. You know, that's one thing going through, you know, even with my brother going through an injury and my pops and everybody in the family, like, you value life and you value opportunity and just waking up every day a different way. So that's kind of why it's nothing for me to really, no matter what, in any situation, I can't really be fazed by it. You know, it's like playing quarterback. You go down there, you may have not scored the whole game or whatever, but then when it gets to that final two minutes and it's time to lock in extra, you can't be in your feelings. You can't be down about anything. You know, you still got another chance.
Wow, is that a kid with perspective? All right, next up, here he is talking about people who don't believe in him. So pretty much everybody but Mel Kiper. Hit it.
Like, my job here isn't to prove people wrong. Like, I prove myself right. That's, and I fully have self-belief, you know, and what those people say, that's just their opinion. So I don't truly care. They don't really live in my mental space about that type of stuff. It really doesn't do anything for me.
Not here to prove people wrong. I'm here to prove myself right.
Sounds great.
I love it.
I love it.
I do love it. So, of course, he was asked about wearing number 12. And this is a soundbite that, taken just like this, of course, everybody was throwing it, you know, in his direction to sort of, you know, slime him. But hit it.
My story is going to be similar. You know, I was a late round draft pick, but we're here now, so none of that stuff matters. That just mattered on the day. And I'm just excited to be here and ready to work.
Shedeur Sanders says he's going to have a similar story to Tom Brady's. Oh, my goodness gracious. He's wearing 12. Brady is a mentor to him. This just in, his dad might have connected the two of them together. I'm biased. You know how I feel about this kid. Again, I've known him since he was a little kid. So Brady's a mentor to him. And by the way, Cleveland Browns fans would love for him to have the Brady story. Fifth round selection. Yeah. What are we calling it? We're calling it the Shedeur Five, right? Right. Five quarterbacks taken before him.
Including his teammate.
Right? The two first rounders, Dart, obviously Cam Ward, and Milrow, Shuck, his teammate, Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur is asked about his popularity. Check it out.
Shedeur, you have incredible popularity. You're just starting your career, and you're immensely popular. Why do you think that is?
Why do you think?
You're likable.
Well, yeah. I guess that's what it is. I just be myself every day. You know, I can't control what's external. I can only control what's internal.
I love that question where you said, what do you think it is? Because you know why the initial question came, right? One would think. Again, I don't know the reporter of what it is. Why are you so famous? Why are you so popular? Oh, because who your dad is. Listen, it is 1,000,000% part and parcel of this guy's life, who his dad is.
And
I understand, you know, his dad took him from one spot to another. And the whole business that is going to keep getting brought up if he does not do well with Cleveland or doesn't stick is the fact that his number got retired, and it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for his dad to retire his number, all that business. But as he points out, it is now over and done with. He's now had his first press conference, and he handled himself brilliantly, I thought. On top of it, he's done well already. He's already visited a school in Cleveland. He's trying to be under the radar. I thought he was supposed to have a camera team with him. Now, you could say he would have had a camera team with him if he was a first-round draft choice or second-round draft choice. I guess we won't ever know. Oh, and by the way, there is a Heisman Trophy finalist he's battling for the job. Let's talk about Dylan Gabriel. He had this to say about the four-quarterback race and his role in it in Cleveland.
I think it's so early, you know, for me. I said that in the sense that I only know one way to prepare. I only know one way to work, and that is as the starter. You know, I've played a bunch of ball and I have a lot of experience, so I'm going to use that to my advantage. But for the most part, I can't say that right now. I got to continue to dominate the moment and have great practices. As you build on upon that, you know, I still look forward to meeting my new teammates, you know, the vets on Monday. So I think that'll be a question down the road. But I think every day I approach is like I'm going to go get that rep. And, you know, I live it like that.
Okay. Woo. Hey, that's a formidable opponent for Shador right there, man. That is a formidable opponent. We met him, too. He is a winner. He is a winner, and he's not going anywhere. And he is not going to be part of the narrative of like, okay, Shador is now going to use this fifth-round draft choice, put it on his shoulder. He's now a more humble kid than he was before, and he's going to get this job. And Dylan Gabriel's going, I don't know about this. Man, the Browns have got an interesting situation here.
I think working in both those guys' favor, they both played a lot of football, which is what you want out of your college players coming in and being a part of your quarterback room. 64 games for Dylan Gabriel. Shador obviously started from day one at Jackson State. So, you know, it's going to be a healthy, fun competition, I think.
It'd be wild if it's Flacco and the two kids. You know, like Brown's daycare, right? And he's the daddy.
I think Dylan Gabriel has the most touchdowns in college history.
And then there's Pickett, too. I can't wait to watch this thing play out, man. And in case you're wondering, the last time the Browns were on Hard Knocks was 2016.
Baker Mayfield.
And so that means they've been on at some point in the last 8 years.
Yeah, you can't. They can't be forced to do it.
They cannot be forced to do it.
But they can volunteer.
I don't think they will. We volunteer for Andrew Bogus. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
We have four fictional characters, basketball characters, that we're wondering who would make the best NBA draft prospect. First up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sidney Dean.
Great handle, somewhat of a trash talker, a little bit of a gym rat, but really hustles out on the floor.
That's right.
As a blacktop, really. He's not yet played an indoor game. It's all been outdoors. Mm. So, you know, his jump shot may be pushed by the wind to go in or to go out. We'll see, you know, how he does in an indoor game. He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit, and he also tends to hustle in a negative negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel Miguel, who played at UCLA. Marcus Johnson was in that movie.
Yeah.
And then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
that's a red flag.
I liken him to Clay Thompson with without the defense.
Okay. Next up, another high schooler from Carver High, center Warren Coolidge.
Physically imposing, rebounds at a high level, was coached by an NBA player, Ken Reeves, who had a wonderful fictional career with the Chicago Bulls before getting injured.
Yeah, that was
a fantastic locker room singing voice. And reminds you a lot of Ben Wallace with sort of a Barry White voice. The problem is, you know, tends to be a little unmotivated and wasn't necessarily the best player on that show. Wolf Perry was on that show, who played at Stanford. And then you may not know this, but Jay Billis was once on that show.
All right, last one for you. This is he plays tons of positions, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School. Teen Wolf, Jay, what do you think about his abilities?
Teen Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard, when he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Jay Billis is going to be joining us shortly. And he's going to be, he was in a car earlier this hour, so he just said, join us an hour too.
I'm loving Jay on the playoff games.
Me too. Him and Mark Jones together.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Mark Jones has got some great lines.
Yeah,
man.
He does.
I love Mark Jones.
He's for years been dropping just gems. Joker hit a shot yesterday, and the ball's, wish I could remember what Mark said because I rewound it like three times, or it might have been a game before. I went around a few times and dropped, and he had
a line for that. I know. Yes. There's a couple times that he made me laugh out loud with some of his lines.
I mean, he's been doing this for decades.
Dude, just remember him on NBA Today where he would just
Mark
shoot the free throw. I love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. The draft lottery tonight, guys. We're going to talk about it with Jay Billis. If you're on hold, stand on hold. We got tons of time to talk to you about everything you want to talk about in hour number two. Ryan Phillippe's coming in. We'll talk about the Eagles hosting the Cowboys in night one of the NFL season. We got, because he's a diehard Eagles fan.
He is.
We got an overreaction Monday.
Isn't he best friends with Post Malone, too, who's a Cowboy fan? That's pretty fun.
I guess we'll ask him about that. We'll ask him about that sort of thing.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg.
We're going to find out who's winning the draft lottery tonight by doing our own little ping pong ball situation. And then we're going to play the feud.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you haven't played the feud with us the last two shows.
And Mike, honestly,
when I destroy whoever I go against,
good.
I will accept apologies from everyone in this room.
I'll be the first to give one, Mike. However, the 2 days you were gone, we were awesome.
We were great. Well, not all. I wouldn't say awesome.
I watched. That's not, as the wolf would say.
I mean, your name.
Highly above average.
Other than chicken, name a bird. Name a bird that you eat, and he goes quail.
What
do we do?
It was on the board, but it was. There's an obvious number. If you don't say turkey,
you lose the board. As
somebody pointed out, it was on the board, and it left the bigger answer open for one of you jabrons who couldn't think of one. So
no, whatever. I'm concerned.
You can how you want.
No, because if you're going against somebody from the Dan Patrick Show.
I didn't go first either.
You did go first.
Yeah, you did go first. And you said quail.
That's a quail. That means they get turkey, and now we're stuck figuring out about a Cornish game hen situation
to steal. Can we quickly? I said that this morning.
Can we quickly rewind why I was laughing? Because we never...
Yeah, why were you laughing?
Because Susie said the thing about chicken. I'm looking right at you, and I mouth the words, that's racist. And then I just thought it was funny, and then I couldn't stop laughing.
I didn't see you mouth the words.
So, and then I just made myself laugh because it was just funny. So,
wow. See, but... Which is... Okay. I understand the origin of it.
Okay.
Let me just say this. Okay.
And quail was I don't know why. I swear to God. Quail was the first. It wasn't turkey. I don't know why quail popped into my head. I don't know why.
As the leader of our, what do we call it? A clan when you're talking about the
feud? Well, family.
Oh, my God.
Team, family.
Come on. If we were Irish, then fine. I could accept that.
This guy, you
know. I could say, you know.
What are you doing over there?
I'm just,
I can be classical.
As the leader of our operation.
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go. Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
I have to look at the pluses and minuses. I got to look for the Achilles heels. I got to look for all these things, right?
Yeah.
So my concern for you going in, because I got my concerns about myself.
Yeah. Okay.
What is it?
That I don't, I mean, I'm not sleeping well these days. So I'm like, if my head's not clear, you know what I mean? Like that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Or I've never done the feud. Like it's gonna be wild.
It's gonna be wild.
I'm gonna go up there. I'm gonna go up there and I'm like, that's Dan Patrick standing across from me playing Family Feud. I never thought in a million years this would be possible. That's Steve Harvey. This is the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've been watching the feud since Richard Dawson was kissing people on the lips.
Here's the thing, I've been around you so long. Here's what I'm worried about you.
Okay.
They ask a question, or maybe it's Fast Money, and you just go, oh God, and then you kind of like freeze.
I understand.
Because you do that.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm perfect.
No, I'm also worried about myself freezing.
I'm concerned about you, trying to entertain rather than play the game.
Look,
that's how you got into some hot water.
That's also how I got into this chair. So I don't know why.
Well, I understand that, but that's how you got into, I shouldn't say hot water. That's how you got into parting gift territory.
That's fine. I also got to the Showcase Showdown way, too, which we conveniently seem to forget. But look, man, I'm going to do my best. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, We're good. We're positive.
Mike, you just got to pull your weight in the press.
Mike, come on. Come on, Mike.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. The Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge that I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.